I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A meme that was doing the rounds on social media recently declared that as long as a lady carries a book with her, she will always have company and a weapon. Well, I hope I won't need a weapon on my desert island, but having some books will certainly provide company and also food for thought. So apparently I shall already have the Bible and Shakespeare, and if I'm allowed to choose one other book, I shall take one I have on my bookcase that contains the complete novels of Jane Austen. However often I read each of her 6 published novels, I never tire of them. So I know they would keep me amused until I am rescued. Although Jane Austen was writing at the beginning of the 19th century, I find her astute perception of character traits and witty approach to life never dates. My favorite of her novels by far is Pride and Prejudice, for reasons I'd like to explore with you this evening. Many of you will know the basic storyline of this novel. But for those who don't, when Elizabeth Bennet meets Mr. Darcy at a ball, they get off on entirely the wrong foot straight away. When someone suggests to Mr. Darcy that Elizabeth is very pretty and that he might ask her to dance, according to the social customs of the time, he replies, "She is tolerable, but not handsome enough to tempt me." Unfortunately, Elizabeth overhears him. Perhaps not surprisingly, from that moment she is prejudiced against him. She has prejudged him to be intolerably proud, and therefore a disagreeable individual whom she has no desire to get to know. Mr. Darcy is indeed proud. He has been brought up to think that he is socially superior to the majority of people, and certainly to the Bennet family. His pride and her prejudice affect all their subsequent interactions, especially as Mr. Darcy realizes to his horror that he is falling in love with Elizabeth. Well, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but suffice to say that by the end of the book, Darcy has overcome his pride and his tireless, self-sacrificing actions when the Bennet family find themselves in difficulties, actions prompted by his love for Elizabeth, cause her to overcome her prejudice, enabling their love for each other to flourish unhindered by either trait. The overarching theme of the book, as of all Jane Austen's novels, is love. My first encounter with Pride and Prejudice is etched on my memory. I was 10 years old and staying with my grandmother, as I often did as a child. It was a dark winter's evening and we were sitting by a roaring open fire in her sitting room. Usually we would have been watching television, but there being only 3 channels in those days, and of course no Netflix, Amazon Prime or the like, there was nothing we wanted to see. And so my grandmother decided this might be a good time to try introducing me to what had always been her favorite novel. She read the first chapter to me, and I too was hooked. I hope at least some of you are lucky enough to have, or have had, a grandmother like mine. Someone whose love for you is total and unconditional. Someone who would spend hours playing with you, reading to you, listening to your childish or adolescent ramblings, eager to join in your activities and to give help and moral support whenever needed. Or perhaps you can think of another of your relations who fulfills this role for you. Someone who is always on your side and whose love can be relied upon whatever happens, forgiving you however you behave and whatever silly mistakes you may have made. In fact, does that kind of unconditional love remind you of anything? As we heard in our readings, God is love. His compassions never fail and are new every morning. Those who seek God can avail themselves of his great love for each one of us at any time, day or night, wherever we are, even on a desert island. He will listen to us whenever we want to talk over joys, upsets, or worries that are on our mind. He will sort out our problems in whatever way is best for us, untangling the mess we make of things if we turn to him for help, and forgiving us for things we've said or done for which we are ashamed. Rereading Pride and Prejudice on my desert island cannot but be a constant reminder of God's love. As the writer of 1 John tells us, love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. There are examples of various forms of love in the novel. The most obvious is romantic love or attraction, which at least in the case of Darcy and Elizabeth, and also of Bingley and Jane, grows into a profound care for each other's well-being, which is resonant of God's compassion that is new every morning. As is the love of sisters Jane and Elizabeth for each other, as they share confidences and support each other during times of distress for either one of them or for their family. Every page of the book is a reminder of my grandmother's love for me and the enormous pleasure that we both derived from reading the book together. Shared laughter is a wonderful thing in any relationship, and our sense of humour was jointly tickled by Mrs. Bennet's obsession with her poor nerves whenever she is discontented, and her husband's mischievous delight in provoking this, and by the ridiculously pompous utterances of the clergyman, Mr. Collins, who incidentally, as some of you may know, was brilliantly played in the BBC's adaptation by David Bamber, who was soon to be a chorister parent, and by Mr. Collins' obsequious fawning around his patroness, Lady Catherine de Bourgh, and by the said Lady Catherine's constant imperious attempts to display her superiority to everyone in her sphere, and her horrified peremptory visit to the Bennets when she gets wind of the appalling prospect of Elizabeth's possibly marrying into her family and polluting the shades of Pemberley. Jane Austen's observation of character traits in her acquaintances and the dryly witty way in which she used them in the brilliant characterizations in her novels are, in my opinion, as in my grandmother's, second to none, and never fail to amuse, even 200 years after her death. But long before I was old enough to appreciate Jane Austen's stories, from as early as I can remember, my grandmother read me age-appropriate versions of stories from the Bible, and in doing so, introduced me to the God who loves everyone equally and unconditionally, without pride or prejudice. I still have illustrated books of Bible stories that she bought for me, and I particularly treasure my first proper Bible that she gave and inscribed for me on my 8th birthday. In fact, I hope this might be the copy I shall be allowed on my desert island. As over the years, I have underlined in it dozens, if not hundreds, of verses that speak of God's unfailing love and discernible presence in the lives of those who seek him. Of course, Jane Austen herself had a strong Christian faith, which sustained her throughout her life and the illness that led to her sadly too early death. Having a clergyman father, she too was introduced very early on to the God who loved her, and this sure knowledge underpins all her work. A prolific writer of letters as well as fiction, she also wrote some prayers, and I'll end with the first few sentences of one that she wrote to be used on the return of the night. Give us grace, Almighty Father, so to pray as to deserve to be heard, to address thee with our hearts as with our lips. Thou art everywhere present. From thee no secret can be hid. May the knowledge of this teach us to fix our thoughts on thee with reverence and devotion, that we pray not in vain. Amen.